This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line. As we continue, Michael, with your deep dives into individual divisions, and today we're going to go ahead and take a look at the NFC South and see what they've done. And it was funny because going into last year, I think it was looked at as, well, it's the division that Tom Brady left. It's the worst division in football. And then the Buccaneers, something happened that we didn't see. They go ahead and win the division with Baker Mayfield and actually win a playoff game. So I don't know what this division is going to look like this year. But we know in the surprise of the draft was Michael Penix going 8 to the ATL after getting Kirk Cousins in free agency. They are the odds-on favorite. There's only three teams that are odds-on favorites to win their divisions. The Niners, the Chiefs, and ironically, the Falcons. You got to lay money with the Falcons. Michael, is this draft good enough that you'd want to lay money on the Falcons to win this division?
Well, they didn't have a draft to help their team, David. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, Michael Penix is for the future. You know, Rook is a kid that has got really good physical numbers as a defensive tackle. But I think a lot of teams were surprised he went that early, especially with Fisk on the board and Newton, the kid from Illinois. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And they're rundown players. They're not going to rush the passer. This team was 29th in the National Football League last year in creating turnovers. It's going to be hard, you know, and Raheem Morris is a really good coach, but he doesn't have Aaron Donald up there to pressure. So it's going to be a challenge. And look, the one thing I do know, if you're going to be a good team, you got to be able to rush the quarterback in the fourth quarter. And that's something they couldn't do. And, you know, when you look at the game they lost to Tampa at home, they're 6-6. They just beat the Jets in a 13-8 game. They got Tampa. They're up by seven. They're up to Tampa. They got a lead on Tampa, you know, 25-21. And then, of course, they go right down the field and score. And, you know, and they make the game and they couldn't stop them because they can't get pressure on the passer. They lose four of the last five games and they beat the Colts in kind of one of those. So I kind of think this is fool's gold because of Cousins. Remember, Cousins didn't want to sign back in Minnesota because they were honest and told him they would draft a quarterback. And here we are in Atlanta.
It's amazing to me because, again, $1.30 for the Falcons is the favorites to win that division. Just not my money, but we'll see how it works out for them. And I'm with you. Just doesn't look like this draft is going to help what they were trying to do in free agency. The Saints were the favorites last year. This time last year didn't work out for New Orleans year one with Derek Carr. They go offensive tackle in round one. Then they're going to go corner in round two. And then Spencer Rattler, they're going to take him in round five as a day three guy out of South Carolina. What'd you make overall of the directions of where the Saints are trying to go?
Well, I mean, like I wrote in my column today on VSiN, you know, everything with the offseason starts with why did we win? Why did we lose? And one of the reasons they lost last year was A, Carr was horrible in the red zone, couldn't score touchdowns, and B, their offensive line was really disappointing. And so they've tried to fix that. With Fuaga, they drafted in the first round to give him a left tackle, right? And they've always put resources into their offensive and defensive lines, which I think is really important. Now, whether Chase Young is that resource, that remains to be seen on the defensive line. But this is a team that won four of the last five games. Went into Tampa when Tampa was the playoff team and beat Tampa soundly in that game. You know, I would not rule them out. I don't trust Derek Carr, especially when the game's on the line. I mean, Derek Carr is the Ricky Fowler of the NFL. When it's competition and it's close, he probably shoots 79. When everybody's ahead of him and you're out of it, he'll shoot 64. You know, so I think to me, that's what I see. And so it's going to be hard to trust him. Although I would put pizza money on them because, you know, they've got to get, you know, the kicker messed them up last year as well.
Yeah.
They've got two college free agents in there as kicking too. So, look, I know nobody loves Dennis Allen and he's not great against the spread. He is a good defensive coordinator and I think their defense will be good next year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to ask you about. It's more like, do we trust Dennis Allen to be able, because he is a good defensive coach, to make sure that that defense is really what keeps them in more ball games? And if the offense is better, special teams is better, the kicking is better, could that make the difference here? They're plus 380 to win this division. They were odds on this time last year. So do you look at that maybe as a decent value play, as a third betting choice in the division?
Yeah, I do. I think it does bring some value. I mean, look, this team has played well, right? I mean, they in the last four games, they beat Carolina, the Giants, two bad offenses. They gave up 30 to the Rams, right? They turned the ball over a bunch, but they held the Bucs to 13 points in Tampa Bay. That was their signature game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they beat Atlanta in the last game of the year when everybody knew they were going to get fired and Kaiser Sose and McKay was orchestrating the hiring of Raheem Morris at the moment. So, you know, I think to me, this is, you know, I don't think they're a bad team, and they address the areas that they needed to address. And they're just going to have to get the quarterback to play at a higher level and get people to buy into it. That's the challenge. I mean, that's the hesitation that I have.
Let's do a deep dive, Michael, into the NFC North, which I think top to bottom, arguably, we'll find out what Minnesota is, could be the best division in football this year on paper. Now, we've got our director, Jeremy Wengel. He's a long-suffering Bears fan. I mean, long-suffering. I've known Jeremy a long time now. Does he have hope this year? I mean, normally you don't want to sell hope, Michael. You know this. You want to sell reality. What's the reality of the Bears draft? Is it as good as everybody in the north and south side of Chicago wants it to be?
Well, you know, let's go back to what Jim Harbaugh said. The Bears draft is predicated on if the offensive line is good enough. That's really going to be, because Dunze and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Caleb Williams and Swift are going to be dependent upon how good that line is. Now, Ryan Poles, their general manager, you know, he drafted right in the first round last year. He inherited Jenkins, another second round pick, when he got in that building. So this is all going to come down to the offensive line. Can Braxton Jones play good enough at left tackle, or the young kid that they drafted in the third round? Is he going to be the starter? That's going to be the key to this team, because for all the skill, the game, the offensive line doesn't need anybody to perform. But all the other positions, as Harbaugh eloquently said, need them to play at a high level. Can they? We shall see. I think that's the key. And there was no real urgency to address that by Poles or their defensive line. Is that going to be good enough? Is, you know, DeMarcus Walker going to be able to fill in and complement Montez Sweat at defensive end? And do they have enough of a defensive front? Remember, this front, this Matt Eberflus defense, is a byproduct of Pete Carroll. And I'm working on a column for tomorrow about Seattle, where Carroll basically started this scheme of having the ability to use the front and coverage to create pressure, create turnovers. It's all about how good are you up front? Are they? Is Dexter, their second-round pick last year, a good enough three technique? Is Billings, who they signed as an unrestricted free agent a year ago from the Raiders, is he good enough? I'm not sure of all those answers, right? I don't know. And if they get any injuries whatsoever like they did last year, it could be problematic for them. So I think they're going to be better. There's no question. The quarterback's going to make them better. But how much better are they? Look, this is Swift. Here's the thing that's interesting. And it always would bother me. This is Swift's third team in three teams. Mm-hmm. Detroit said, no, thank you. We'll draft Gibbs. Philadelphia said, no, thank you. We'll overpay for Barkley. And the Bears come swooping in and sign Swift. Now, I like Swift, and I really do. And I'm a Swiftie in that sense. But I'm nervous about why two teams passed on them. They know something that I don't know sitting on the outside. I think that's what I'm worried about.
Oh, that's the headline on X. Michael Lombardi's a Swiftie. That's going to be all over there. They're going to plaster it everywhere, Michael. Look,
yeah, there you go.
They're going to have to, you're right, they're going to have to improve that offensive line. They're going to have to get better. I do like the draft on paper, but you're right. It's all going to be predicated up front on both sides of the ball for the Bears.
Everybody loves the draft on paper, David. Right. Everybody has loved these drafts on paper. I mean, in 2021, you know, when Chicago drafted – when they drafted Fields, they didn't get just an A-plus for that draft. They didn't get just an A, excuse me. They got an A-plus.
Plus.
Right? I mean, they got an A-plus. So that was the key. And so how did that work out for you? right? Fields is no longer on the team. Jenkins is a marginal player in the offensive line, right? You know, this is they got, and you know, Larry Brohm, they drafted. He's really not a very good player. So, and this was an A++ draft. I mean, so I don't know how to give you that answer.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gives these because you can get an A if you draft a receiver that everybody loves, though you might not be able to get him the football.
Let's go to Minnesota because I'm intrigued by this team, Michael. And look, we'll find out what J.J. McCarthy is, if he's a day one guy or they go to Sam Darnold. Dallas Turner, they moved up both spots, just one spot to get J.J., moved back up to 17 to get Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. And then you look, they did go kind of back and forth a little bit with DBs and offensive tackle and a center and then a D tackle to round out the draft. Overall, what do you make of what they're trying to do in Minnesota?
Well, I think what Minnesota's trying to do is get away from the Kirk Cousins contract and try to have cap flexibility and really start new but not give ground. I think they're trying to recreate their team on the fly because of the way they were hamstrung with Cousins. They were always putting a patch on the tire. They never bought a new tire. They were, let's put money into next year. Let's sign this guy. They always had cap struggles. And I think what they're trying to do is get younger. They're trying to get more athletic. They're trying to create a team that can be built around a quarterback on a rookie contract. And I think that's something they had to do. And it's always hard to peel that Band-Aid off, right? It's hard to do that. But fortunately, they got a quarterback that they can work around. The Raiders peeled that Band-Aid off last year when they shipped Derek Carr out, but they didn't get somebody to come in and play, young or old. Garoppolo didn't play well. So that's a real issue.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, you got to jump on this deal. We're offering it our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, now just $199. All you have to do is sign up today, and we'll give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code Lombardi. You're going to gain all the best bets, the daily betting systems, the betting splits, the 19 hours of live programming, everything that VSiN has to offer. You'll get it with the subscription. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code Lombardi. That's important. Use promo code Lombardi to unlock the deal. VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt, my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, let's play a little no way or no doubt here on the Lombardi Line. And we'll start off with the roast of Tom Brady over this past weekend and all the dignitaries that were in attendance, two of them being Bill Belichick and owner Robert Kraft. Well, Michael, do you believe that the beef between Belichick and Kraft has been squashed? Because we saw them toast and take a shot together at the roast.
Well, I mean, it's for those are like pictures for PR standpoint. I mean, you don't put a 10-part documentary and dismiss the winningest coach in NFL history and give him zero credit for him and think that he's going to come up there and say, oh, how are you doing, Robert? How's things? You know, I mean, everything he's done since he's left the building, they've tried to destroy him from, you know, take his signs down, defuse the organization. How would you feel? I mean, you know, instead of me answering the question, you know, people should ask themselves the question. Let's say you spent 24 years at one place. You won 6 Super Bowls. You went to 8. You increased the value of the franchise from, you know, let's say $1 billion to $6 billion. Okay? You know, you had something to do with that. You know, you put the team on the map. You became, you created a way. And then the day you walked out, you started getting bad mouth and everything went against you, including a book. I mean, how would you feel? I know we live in a world of forgiveness, Femi. But it's a little bit early to forgive, right? It's a little bit early to use our Christian faith and focus on forgiveness. So I'm not buying that at all. This is going to last for a while. And, you know, I thought what Kraft did was trying to cover up when he came out and said, this is the greatest coach. You know, saying it at the roast and doing what you did to him in the 10-part documentary, which you claim you had nothing to do with, is a little bit of disingenuous.
Yeah, it rings hollow. And former New England Patriots player Julian Edelman, on his podcast Games with Names, here's what he had to say about how what the feeling was like in the room there at the roast this past weekend.
Tension in that room, though.
It was real.
Could cut glass.
It was very real. It was very real.
I was so awkward. I was like, I was watching Coach, and I tried to give Coach a heads up. I'm like, I see Kraft walk in. I'm like, yo, Coach. You know, like, you know, this locker room, like 5-0, 5-0. You know, like, he did. Of course, he didn't see it,
right?
And right. He came in, and I was just like, oh, this could be fireworks. I just walked away.
I mean, it kind of tells you what you laid out there. It's like, yeah, they can kind of do all this stuff for PR, but everybody knows what's really how they really feel about each other.
I mean, how would you feel, right? How would put yourself in Belichick's shoes? You've dedicated 24 years of your life for that cause, and you know, and then to be, and then you know, and then all of a sudden you think just him standing up there saying this is the greatest coach and doing a come on, every action there's a reason for those actions, and you know, and they've done nothing but smear his legacy, whether he called Arthur Blank or not. Like, I don't know if that's actually true. It may be true, but I think the incompetence of general manager, Super Bowl winning general manager Terry Fontenot will cover up all of those sins anyway. He probably didn't need to make that call.
Yeah, that would sound was courtesy of the Games with Names podcast with Julian Edelman. All right, let's move it along to your favorite team, the Philadelphia 76ers. They should add a superstar to the roster this offseason. No way or no doubt?
No doubt they should. No doubt they should. It's can he not be 36 years and older? Can he not be one of the? Can he not be a former Houston Rocket? Can he not be a guy that doesn't work hard? Can he not be a guy that is can't play all the games? Can he not be a guy that is going to acquiesce to Embiid? I mean, yeah, but who's that guy? I mean, you know, who is that guy? If you take, I love Jimmy Butler 2 years ago. I clearly said to all my, I would assign him over Harris. But what I was worried about with Jimmy Butler is what's come true is I didn't know how many years he had left. He wanted that 5 years, right? I was worried that body wasn't going to hold up.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if you want to go down that path this year. Paul George is a name that's been bandied about, also 34 years old, but for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Let me ask you this, Femi. Let me ask you a no way or no doubt. Mm-hmm. If you're Paul George and one of your best friends is James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, are you going to trust Daryl Morey in a contract?
No way. Not a chance.
No way or no doubt, Femi.
No way. Not a chance.
So that's a no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no then way. Scratch the Paul George.
Yeah. Yeah. And then James Harden. I mean, it's been an ugly divorce with James Harden and Daryl Morey, which was documented before the season started. All right, let's go back to the football. Chad Johnson on his podcast, The Nightcap, said, quote, remember I told you Odell, Tyreek, and Jalen Waddle will all have 1,000 receiving yards. So, Michael, the Miami Dolphins could have 3 1,000-yard receivers this season, no way or no doubt.
No way. I mean, can we stop this nonsense with Odell, please? Can we stop it? I mean, like, seriously, I know Chad and him are buddies, but, I mean, to me, this is where there's such a disconnect between the reality of players and analysts. Like, that's just you're playing for the player. Like, at some point, analyze the game. At some point, analyze the career. It goes back to see what Barkley said. Like, you're friends with them, right? Be honest. Like, there's no way. The question is, could he stay healthy? No. Did he watch him last year? I mean, it's really, it's unbelievable. But unfortunately, because the fans think that ex-players played, they know. They really don't know about player. No next player spent time up in the player acquisition departments or evaluating talent. They never did that.
Yeah. And it's like, how could you, when you're focused on your own career, to then also see the big picture? But apparently it's not their job to do that. But now they comment on that whole thing. Oh, by the way, the last time a team had 3 1,000-yard receivers, 2008 Arizona Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston. Only 5 times has it been done in NFL history, but it hasn't been done since the 2008 Cardinals that went and lost the Super Bowl to the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, moving along here. Austin Rivers, NBA analyst over at ESPN, was on the Pat McAfee show and said that 30 NBA players could play in the NFL, but 30 NFL players could not play in the NBA. So more NBA players could play in the NFL than NFL players in the NBA, no way or no doubt.
Well, I think to me, it's really, again, has Austin Rivers spent any time in player personnel? One of the things that I've always said, and I've studied the NBA, I love watching the players, and I think they're incredible. Like, you know, could some of those guys transition? Could Barkley have been a great tight end? Absolutely, right? Could he have been a great tight end? No doubt. And there's so much. Michael Jordan could have done anything. And, you know, we're seeing this in the league now. But in the NBA, you can be a vertical player. You can be a straight line, have straight line speed, have straight line acceleration. In the NFL, you can't live like that, right? You know, Anthony Edwards has everything you want in a great athlete. But there also is something called toughness. It's something called toughness. And so to play in the NFL, you got to have unique toughness. And as Barkley would tell you, I wanted nothing to do with that because it's a different kind of toughness than it is in the NBA. So athletically, I'm not challenging how great those guys are, just like in the NFL. I'm not going to challenge. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you don't think he can go over if he could dribble basketball? Who's keeping up with him? Who's running him down?
He can dunk a basketball, you know? I've seen.
I mean, like some of the tight ends in our league. Yeah, so each sport requires a different specialty. And you better understand both sports on what it requires to play in the NFL and play there. That's why Bob Myers must understand it because he's coming from basketball into the NFL.
Final one here. We'll see if we can squeeze another one in. But NFL draft grades are a reliable resource for off-season betting prep. Oh, no God. Way, no doubt.
I mean, when Elliot put that in, there's no way. I mean, we just went through, you and I on the GM shuffle, we just went through the 21-20 grades. The Bears got an A+. From an analytical site, Pro Football Focus, they got an A+. They have one player remaining from that draft. They got an A+ on that day. They won 10 games or 11 games with the player that got them the A+. They're irrelevant, and they should be irrelevant because it takes 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah, it's draft grades. Just throw them in the trash can, as far as I'm concerned. For your offseason,
it's an exercise in futility. Yeah. It's a click game.
Yeah,
and it's basically the teacher. It's the student grading the teacher because if you don't follow Mel's board, you're not getting a good grade.
Exactly. It's circular.
So that
reasoning.
Means Mel's right.
Yeah. It's all circular reasoning. Here's what they should do. They didn't do it. All right, F. Like, oh, what? Who are you? That's how things work with those draft kids. But they make for great content, so I understand why they keep pumping them out. All right, Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at Serco, joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're going to offer our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. We're going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns, in-game analysis, proven betting systems from our professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting split showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. And, you know, in TV, Michael, I used to have to write teases, right? I got to get you to stick around through the commercial break to come on back. Maybe Jim Irsay is throwing out a bit of a tease to everybody because we thought the schedule was coming out this week, Thursday. And then we're like, oh, that's going to get pushed back maybe till next week. Well, he just tweeted not that long ago, X'd, whatever we want to call these days, that he has a sneaking suspicion that the schedule release is going to be sooner than we make. Michael Lombardi, what do you make of that? When is this thing coming out?
Well, I mean, he already knows his schedule. He knows it. I mean, he's an owner. I mean, I'm sure they've gotten word that, you know, they're going to schedule it. I'm sure later today or maybe tomorrow we'll get some kind of announcement of when the show, when they're going to do it, the broadcast, because they make it an event. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it right in the middle of an NBA game and they'll outdraw the NBA when they put that schedule up there, when you can read it in the paper, but still people are going to watch. I mean, look, it's the NFL. It's just anything they do, it turns to gold, and it's going to continue to turn to gold because it's a great game. It's fun to watch. It's got a lot of intrigue to it, and people want to get a jump on those tickets. I mean, Howard mentioned that, you know, Eagle fans have to travel to Brazil. American Airlines put two more flights here in Philadelphia to Brazil during that time. And because they know that Eagle fans will take a vacation and go down there and go to Brazil and enjoy their team and enjoy a vacation in another country. So, you know, if they can afford it, right? Mm-hmm. If you can afford it. So that the NFL can move mountains. And I think we're going to see it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You're right. Everything is news that comes out of the league. And we'll see what that means with Jim Irsay. But you're right. He already knows as one of the owners here when this thing's coming out. I did want to get to your list here of the toughest divisions in the NFL. There's only eight of them, but we're going to go top five of the toughest divisions that you see. Go 5-1, Michael. Let's start with the fifth. It's one that I'm very interested in. He obviously is a Cowboy backer here. What do you make of the NFC East?
Well, I think it's really, you know, I think what Howard said and I've said and everybody has agreed, Philly's had a really good offseason in all three areas, players, coaches, and scheme. They're fifth because their two weakest teams, Washington and New York, New York, I'm not sure they've improved with their 6-11 season from last year. You know, however, Washington, I think, can win more than four games, but neither of them seem to me to be a threat at the quarterback position, which could entice them to beat two good teams that have two good quarterbacks. So to me, it really came down to it's a two-team race. We know over the last 10 seasons that the Cowboys have won five of the NFC East titles. The Eagles have won three. Washington has won two. One of them was below 500. And the Giants haven't won any. So it's tough to have a great division when one team hasn't been really representative in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree on all fronts there. Again, as somebody is always looking out at the Eagles as a Cowboy guy, the division, we might have to look a little bit deeper this year with the improvements, at least on paper, for the Commanders, and we'll find out about the Giants. Let's get to number four. You're going to stay in the NFC, Michael, but which division goes to number four? It's going to be the West, we see.
Well, I think the North is four, and look, I think it's I'm sorry, the NFC West. I think San Francisco is going to be – I'm not sure I'm ready to go where Howard is in terms of they're not going to be back. All their players are coming back. They've improved their defense. I think they're going to change with Nick Sorensen as defense coordinator. I think you're going to see more of a diversity. They can still run the ball. McCaffrey stays healthy and their team stays healthy. They'll be there. I think the Rams are improved. Mm-hmm. And what I'm writing about today for tomorrow is Seattle. I think Seattle is an undervalued team. I really do, because they're 9-8 last year. They were horrendous, horrendous on defense. They couldn't stop the run. You know, they couldn't get control of the game with their defense. 2 years in a row now, they've been in the bottom third defensively in most statistics. And if they can keep the offense healthy, last year they went through a lot of injuries, but they still won nine games in Pete Carroll's last season. And I think with Mike McDonald, what he was able to accomplish in Baltimore, taking a team and really building that defense out with not many guys that I would say are elite superstars. Remember, Clowney, he picks up in August. Van Noy picks up in off the Pat McAfee show, gets 9 sacks. Clowney gets 9.5. They were really good at creating chaos for the offense. Think about this number. Yet last year, Baltimore, they were 25th in yards allowed rushing. And they saw the least amount of passing attempts, 31st in the league in terms of facing passing attempts, and yet they had a plus 42 halftime differential. Mm. So those numbers, when you sit down and look at them, you say, wait a minute, they have the lead, and yet teams aren't passing the ball on them. second in the least amount of attempts.
Wow.
Okay. Therefore, you're talking about a team that basically is the teams are worried about throwing the ball on them.
Let's go
because of the scheme and because of their ability to, they want to manage the game correctly. And I think that McDonald bringing that to Seattle will make Seattle an effort. And I think it's really three teams. I don't think Arizona, you know, Warren Sharp put something out yesterday that if you're a Cardinal fan, if you're a Cardinal fan, you got to be really depressed because he put out, it's a little bit misleading. As some of the stuff that Warren puts out is can be a little bit because you can play with the numbers any way you want. But when you look at this, he put out a number of the quarterbacks in the last 5 minutes with a minimum of 45 attempts. Do they lead their team back? Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it goes from 1 to 56. Gardner Minshew was the 56th ranked player. And when you look at this list, I mean, when you look at it, Kyler Murray's 32nd in this list. You know, I hate to say this, Mike Glennon's 28.
I saw that.
So,
yeesh.
Did you see it?
Yeah,
I mean, Justin Fields was 54th.
Right. That's where numbers lie.
For all those people that wanted the Bears to keep Justin Fields, he was 54th on this list.
Let's get
what game are you watching?
Let's get to your first division in the other conference in the AFC here. And I don't think it's a surprise at number three. It's when you have the reigning defendings, two-time champs, it's going to be a tough division in the West.
Right. And look, they got three coaches who have been to Super Bowl. Two of them won it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's all you need to know, that you got really good coaching in there. You can say whatever you want about the talent. Harbaugh's taken a team to a Super Bowl. He's rebuilt the team. He's won everywhere he's been. Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl, and Andy Reid's got three of them. Mm. And Antonio Pierce struggled at Long Beach Poly. Other than that, everything's good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – it could be a – look, Raiders had a nice end to the season last year. I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult this year in that West. I'm right there with you. Number two, going to go back to the North in the NFC here, and I'm with you. I kind of feel like all four teams got better in the offseason. Do you see it that way?
They did, you know, and I mean, look, and all four teams have quarterbacks that they like, right? You know, I mean, I don't think Goff is the best quarterback. Certainly, I think Love's improved. Caleb Williams is going to be a rookie. We don't know where they're going with J.J. McCarthy, but hopefully it'll be an upward turn. They still won games last year with Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins. You got to give Kevin O'Connell a lot of credit. I think the North is really good. And the best one, David, I don't even think this is a debate. The best one's the AFC North.
Mm.
Because with Burrow back... Right. Pittsburgh won 10 games last year with no quarterback. They go into Seattle with Mason Rudolph and run for 200 plus yards and throw for 200 plus yards, win 10 games. And, you know, Cleveland, I don't know where they're going to be with Deshaun. We'll see. And Baltimore won 13 games. So from top to bottom, the North, every game in the North is hard, really, really hard.
And you look at the win totals for everybody in the AFC North. And again, we know the stat with Mike Tomlin, never had a losing record. And it's amazing that they basically all three quarterbacks they had in the roster last year are gone. They've completely, upended that whole quarterback room there. And they're sitting at 8.5. Do you think this is a legit four horse race potentially in this division?
Yeah, I think it's, and I don't think it's going to get decided till late. If Burrow stays healthy, I think Cincinnati's a really good team. I think they made the improvements they needed to make. Remember, you know, you're going to judge a team based on what they did in the offseason, if they understood what their problems were and if they addressed them. Remember, why you win, why you lose. If you can answer that, you got a chance.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And I like the no excuses policy from Mike Tomlin, too. So didn't like the quarterback room, cleaned it completely out, and they got an all new batch in this year.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
pressing?
Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
Absolutely love it. Love what our crew put together there. This is the first time I've seen it here as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, as we do every single Thursday. Final segment of the show, Palms Pressing 3. Mike Palm, please take it away.
All right, speaking of win totals, Michael, there is a lot of optimism, not only in Chicago, but at the betting windows around the country about the Chicago Bears following their draft, coupled on top of how they played the last half of the year. It's currently set at 8.5, Michael, juiced heavily to the over. The Bears win totals higher than the Chargers when you consider the juice. Michael, are the Bears going to win at least 9 games this year, and are they a playoff team?
I think you got to take a step back here to answer your question properly. And I think you have to understand Chicago. And you have to go back to when we were all first reunited here at the network, and Mitchell Trubisky was a candidate for MVP. And we sat in the studio and we were laughing at it. But the money was pouring in. And it was Chicago money. And the Bears fans are passionate. They're loyal. And they're delusional. And they'll bet even what they can't see. And so they bet Trubisky and ran that number up. Because remember, the book doesn't think that the Bears are going to win 9 games. The book thinks the book sets the number because that's what the public thinks, right? And so that's where the juice is. And we know the public of Chicago is a little bit going to put their money all the time where their beliefs are. And so then we get another candidate. Justin Fields enters our world. And now his MVP odds are through the roof and moving numbers. Now, with some help by Danny O on the worldwide leader to fuel their fire, which is all they need is one match, and they're going to take off. Okay, so that was another St. Jude's play, which I was violently against playing and got ridiculed and destroyed. Okay, so now here we are with Caleb Williams. And this is the first one that makes sense, that he could be rookie of the year. But here's what I would say in caution. I think the North is really good. I think Green Bay is really good. Do you believe the Bears offensive line is good enough? If you do, if you think they have a left tackle, if you think they have a right tackle, I know it's Darnell Wright, who was a first round pick last year. If you think they're really good up front, and if you think that they can survive an 11 personnel out of that formation in the Midwest with the cold and rain, then go ahead. But they got to be able to stay healthy. I would lean under here. I would never go over because I think you're buying into Bears enthusiasm. And I say this respectfully to the Bear fans. I love their passion. I love their loyalty. I don't like their delusionalness.
I agree with that. I mean, for the expectation for a rookie quarterback to win 9 games, that's not saying that he can do it, but that's the expectation when you bet over an 8.5. Not doing it. Not doing it.
I'm monitoring to see how much of a plus I can get on this under 8.5. Right? It was a plus on under 7.5 last year, and I'm wondering how much of a plus I can get under 8.5. Okay, Michael, second question. On Monday, former Buffalo Bills and head coach and longtime Bronco defensive coordinator Joe Collier passed away. Collier was the architect of the Orange Crush defense of the 1970s and 80s in Denver. Michael, how will history remember Collier, and where will he rank among the all-time great defensive coordinators?
No, that's a great question, Mike. I'm glad you remembered him. Joe Collier was outstanding. You know, he was ahead of his time, and I think we came from an era back then where defensive coaches were really elite. And not only were they elite in terms of scheme and usage of players, I mean, Carl Mecklenburg's a 12th round pick. Right. And he utilized his skill set, and he was able to kind of cover up a lot of the sins of their team, which ultimately got exposed when they played in the Super Bowl. But Joe is a tremendous defensive coordinator, much like Richie Pettibone was a tremendous defensive coordinator of Washington. And there was an era in the 80s where we had a lot of these guys that were great. Buddy Ryan, you know, in Chicago. Bud Carson invented the cover two defense. when he was at Pittsburgh, and then went on to have, you know, achieve success, was actually a head coach of the Browns. So, yeah, I think anytime you can honor these guys, unfortunately, we have too many people that get in the way of, you know, the contributor column for the Hall of Fame gets cloudy because the owners want to put their toe in the water. And then also this puts them in the head coaching vat, where now you've got Mike Holmgren watching on the outside. You've got Mike Shanahan watching on the outside. You can't get Buddy Parker in the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, Robert Kraft's doing documentaries to get himself in the Hall of Fame, which he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but not in the coaching category. So he belongs in there for hiring Belichick, even though Belichick didn't work for 23 of the 24 years there in New England. We understand that. But he does deserve that honor. I think, to me, Collier will always be remembered as innovative. And I think where he was so good was utilization of personnel and moving people around in an era where people weren't moving them.
I'm not to step on the pressing three here, but it's interesting that in the 80s and that time we saw the young defensive minds, and now it's all young offensive minds. I mean, Mike McDonald, the Seahawks head coach, is almost like a unicorn. If you see a young defensive mind that people kind of herald it a little bit, it's interesting.
But this is always the trend, Femi, because everybody thinks you win games with offense. This is always the trend. And it wasn't until 2014 when New England said, look, you know, we either fix what we do defensively or we're not going to win, because we went from 2006 to 13 without winning any Super Bowls. And then from 14 to 19, because they improved their defense, they did. And I think that's been the key. Same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. They made this decision when they traded Tyreek Hill. Now, no one's paying attention to it. Just me, you, and Mike Palm and other people. Clearly, Ryan Poles isn't. He's drafting receivers. He's playing 7-on-7, you know, and he feels like, I got enough defensive players. Well, you really don't.
Question three, Michael. Interesting news out of Canada this morning, I thought. Chad Kelly, many will remember, quarterback at Mississippi, had drafted by the Broncos, ran into problems there with some criminal behavior, is the reigning MVP of the Canadian Football League. A former strength and conditioning employee with the Argonauts filed a lawsuit against Kelly and the team for sexual harassment, unwanted advances by him, and then threats after they weren't met. She was subsequently fired, so her lawsuit also includes wrongful termination. The CFL commissioned a third party to do an investigation. They had a two-month investigation. They issued an 87-page report today and suspended the reigning CFL MVP for 9 games, a minimum of 9 games, and that's conditioned upon him successfully completing counseling on the issue. A two-part question here, Michael. One is, could something like this happen in the NFL or not based on the union's agreement? And two, what does this say as a sign of bad actors and trying to take bad actors and put them in places and make them good actors?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it says is Kelly has enough ability to be a good player. He doesn't have the character to be a good player, which affected him here and in the States in America, you know. And I think this certainly could happen in the NFL, but I think the NFL has safeguards to prevent this, right? And as we start to get more women coaches involved, which we should, we're going to have more safeguards in these environments. And I think it's really critical for the team to go through those educational processes to understand all this. And they do. And, you know, part of orientation is to make sure that the players understand all this. But look, I think what's very clear is you can't win any title without high-level character players. You have to have character on your team. And the characters are going to help you. Character helps you. And I think for Kelly's career, this has been the deterrent for why he couldn't take the giant step, why he didn't get drafted, why he's been cut. Because he can't move himself from an amateur, which doesn't take things seriously, to a professional, which is becomes his life. And a lot of players don't. I think Zach Wilson's an example of that. You know, can't move from the amateur status to the professional status. And until you do that, until you grow up and handle it, nothing else matters.
Yeah. At some point in the NFL, you're going to meet adversity. And I guess it's how you handle that stuff it determines who the good players are versus the players that end up washing out of the league. Anything else that you have on your on your mind here?
No, that was it.
Nothing else? No Seahawks future that you're
putting
in there?
Great work, Mike.
Thank you. That's a lot of pressure with Elliot for these questions, you know, so I have to dig deep some
weeks. Why are you throwing our guy under the bus here? He's behind the glass. He can't respond or defend himself.
Elliot has a standard. No, he's Mike Palm's right. Elliot's doing his job. He has a standard of excellence we all have to meet.
Make sure you meet those deadlines.
I accept it.
All right. Well, for our producer, Elliot, both behind the glass and the entire crew, for Mike Palm, for Michael Lombardi, I'm Fame Bebe saying so long. The handle's coming up next at the top of the hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.